Get ready to be lifted to a higher dimension as you listen to this prophetic and practical teaching. Your life will never remain the same. The entrance of the word brings light. So get ready for a fresh word that will bless and encourage you. And now, here is your teacher.
I'd like us to look at the teaching that I titled Categories of Christians in the Church. Categories of Christians in the Church. 1 John chapter 3 verse 4 to verse 8. Romans chapter 6 verse 11 to 19. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14 to 18. Proverbs chapter 28 verse 13. Most of the scriptures I've mentioned will be talking about sin. Whosoever committed sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is a transgression of the law. Whosoever committed sin. Title or position, office, notwithstanding, whosoever commits sin has transgressed the law. In other words, has broken the law. Because the definition of sin is simply a transgression of the law. Next verse. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him, talking about Jesus, is no sin. Primary reason for Jesus coming to earth was that our sins be taken away. And he did his job very well. And the scripture says, in him there is no sin. Verse 6. Whosoever abided in him sinneth not. Now the word abides here has to do with attachment, has to do with knowing, relationship. Now, when you say something is abiding, that means dwelling, living in, residence. The word abides connotes permanence. The word abide here connotes permanence, not a temporary thing. Whosoever abided, whosoever abides in him permanently, sinned not. Now, that does not mean that the person will not have the urge for sin or the tendencies to sin. But there is something in that person that repels sin, that helps him live above sin. There is a seed in him that makes him run away from sin, that makes him want to avoid sin. And if peradventure he discovers he has sinned in whatever way, he does the right thing immediately. Whosoever sinned had not seen him, neither known him. Now, the word here, sinned, connotes permanent lifestyle. It's not somebody that lies today and doesn't lie again tomorrow. The sinned here means whosoever continuously sins has not seen him, has not known him. In other words, have not come in contact. You don't have a relationship with him. Because if you have him in you, something begins to hate sin naturally. You don't want to do it. You don't think about it. Praise God. The next verse. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. Praise God. Now, There is no pretense about it. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. Let no one say to you, well, your own is too much. Are you the Holy Spirit? He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil. Now God is taking us back to the origin. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, but he that committed sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning and has not changed. He has continued to sin. So if you continue to sin, even though you are still coming to church, you are of the devil. He that sins and continues to sin is of the devil. I know that if I were to ask how many persons here are of the devil, how many persons are of God, everyone will vote for God. But it is not for pastor to determine who is on God's side. God determines. And the yardstick of God is this: whosoever committed sin is of the devil. Whosoever lives in the nature, in the habit of sinfulness, is of the devil. Because the devil sinned from the beginning and has not repented. He's still committing sin. And so if you are still committing sin, you are of the devil. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Romans chapter 6 verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He said, recognize by yourself. Be conscious of this, that as a child of God, you are supposed to be dead to sin. Now let's come back home with an illustration. If someone has a partial stroke, or someone has a one-sided stroke, what happens is that every vein and every artery in that side of his body goes numb. So even if you were to use a knife to pierce the person through that side, the person won't feel it. The reason is because that part of the person is no longer alive. The sensitive organs are not functioning. So it goes dead. And God said, that's what our attitude to sin is supposed to be. Now, it doesn't matter who is committing sin around you. It doesn't change your perspective of God. You don't go on to say, well, everyone is doing it around me, I can't escape it. He said, we are supposed to be dead to it. It means nothing to you. Of course, for instance, if somebody is eating the kind of food you don't like, do you feel like eating the food? No. You don't just like the food. No matter how hungry you are, and somebody is eating that thing very close to you, in fact, it irritates you more. What is this person eating? Because that's not your kind of food. It's not going to move you. As far as your appetite is concerned, your appetite is dead to that delicacy. That's what it should be. Amen. But we are alive unto God through Jesus Christ. So that anything you see about God, you are quick to it. The next verse. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Now this is the expectation. This is the target. Let not sin reign. The word reigns implies to stay on permanently. So it is possible that the child of God can make a mistake, but as soon as he makes that mistake, something tells him that this is not right for me to do, and he comes out of it. It's just like if somebody is mentally deranged or mad, the person can take off all his clothes and walk into the market, walk on the streets naked. Person can enter the bush path or the dustbin and pick things and is eating. The person is comfortable at that kind of environment. He has issues with his senses. But why seated inside that dustbin and is eating there? If suddenly a miracle takes place and he regains his consciousness, the first thing he will do is to look at himself and say, what happened to me? Why am I here? And as soon as he regains his consciousness, he feels the shame of nakedness. He feels the shame and the reproach of being in such a dirty place. And he wants to leave the place almost immediately. Now, that's the consciousness that rests with the genuine child of God, that as soon as he makes mistakes, he knows that this is not right and he can't stay. She cannot stay for the next 30 minutes without confronting that issue and changing it. But God is saying, do not allow sin to reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Now, one thing that sin wants to achieve is that sin wants to come into your life and then he wants to have a permanent abode. And then when sin reigns in your life, it begins to force you, to persuade you to do it. So don't allow it to reign in your mortal body that you will obey it. Everything about the body is lost. And so God said, have such power to be able to resist it. The next verse. Neither yield ye your members as instrument of unrighteousness unto sin. Now look at here. God calls us into responsibility here. He said, do not yield your members. Your members here has to do with your body parts, your eyes, your nose, your ears, your mouth, every organ of your body. He said, don't yield it. Now it becomes my responsibility and your responsibility to yield. We are likely going to yield to something. We are likely going to give in to something. But God is saying, be conscious of what you are yielding to. He said, don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now, this tells me that even when you have given your life to Christ, you are born again, that you still have a big role to play by deciding what to allow yourself do. See, being born again doesn't necessarily confer on you abilities that you never had before. Born again is giving you a new spirit, but it is still living inside the old body. And it will now be your duty to use your spirit and suppress the dominion or the power of your flesh. So even when you are born again, you still need to decide what you want to allow yourself to think. You know, in Ephesians, the Bible says, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of the Lord, and bringing every thought into captivity. I'd like you to know that you can decide what you think, and you can decide what you don't want to think. On a regular idle moment, so many things will come into your mind. There are some that you will allow to stay, and there are some you can immediately expel. So you can allow your mind to house certain thought that will blossom into something very big, and then you begin to do all the wrong things. Verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law but under grace. Sin should not have dominion. Now, the English word shall is futuristic. Now that you have been saved, you are going on a journey. Sin is somewhere along the road. When you meet it, it shall not have dominion. Now, God is trying to explain to us that at the point of believing him, at the point of giving your life to Jesus Christ, you have become a new person. But that doesn't remove the fact that sin is still available everywhere. But now, because you have given your life to Christ, sin shall not have. It will want to have, but it shall not have. The scripture says, he that is born of God has the seed of God in him. So sin will not have dominion over you, because you are no longer under the law, but under grace. 15. What then shall we sin, because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. The next verse. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, is servant you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Look at verse 18. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. We want to look at categories of Christians in the church. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Many times these scriptures is used in the context of marriage, but it wasn't used here. It wasn't thought in the context of marriage. The Corinthian church was a church that was so mixed up, because the Corinthians brethren, they had a different view of what God was and the worshiping of God was. And so when Paul established a church there, it took time to tutor them the difference between serving God and serving what they used to in the name of God. And for every time in the Corinthian church, there will always be people who believe perfectly and those who are still having a mixture of both. Those who still feel, well, yes, we can come to church, but I will still come to church with Tumakpo in my pocket. So he still comes to church with it. He believes in God, but he has not totally removed his belief from the ring he used to have. So he comes to church with his ring, and sometimes even dedicate the ring to God and say, God, make this ring work for me. So they want to have a mixture of both. And so they were having such people in church. And then when Paul was teaching, he said, do not be unequally yoked. In other words, the believer and the unbeliever cannot be at the same pedestal. At no time can we be the same. At no time can we do the same thing. You know, sometimes people will say everybody is the same. After all, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no righteous man on earth. No, not one. So everyone is the same. No. He said, for what fellowship had righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion had light with darkness? The two are separate. Verse 15. And what concord had Christ with Belial, or what part had he that believeth with an infidel? 16. And what agreement had the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 18. And will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Lastly, let's read Proverbs 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Alright. Categories of Christians in the church. Number one, the pure sinner. In every church, you will meet these categories I will be talking about. You have to choose which category you want to fall into, or you are. And the beautiful thing is that you can swap your class. You can change class by choice anytime. First, the pure sinner. Of course, like I always say, that the church is like a hospital on the way to heaven. That those who are traveling to heaven, tired and worn out, some of them have accidents, they will have to enter into the hospital and then get treated and continue on their journey. That's how the church is. And so you don't get shocked when you meet a sinner in church. It's not in the market you are supposed to meet them. It is in church you are supposed to meet them. Because the church is the curative center. for sinners. And so that's why you shouldn't be shocked when you come to church and you say, if you see what this person, oh, this person that used to go to church, if you see what he does, if you see what she does, if you see what this person did to me in church you will meet a pure sinner. It is not strange to meet a pure sinner in church, but it is totally strange and absurd to come as a pure sinner in church and remain a pure sinner after a while. Praise God. If you are admitted in a hospital, there is no hospital that will want to keep you if they know they don't have what it takes to deal with your case. If your matter is simply incurable, they are going to tell you this matter is incurable, but we can just give you palliatives to help you so that anytime the death comes, you can go. For now, we can just give you what will sustain you. We can't cure you. And of course, they are not going to keep you there for eternity. So every patient that goes to the hospital has in mind, I want to leave the hospital. So if you come to church a pure sinner and remains a pure sinner, it's rather shocking that you've not changed 6 months after, regardless of all the messages you have heard. You still haven't changed. One sign that you are growing, that you are maturing, is that you are changing. One sign that you are learning is that you are changing. So we meet a pure sinner. This may be a sincere person or a pretender. If this kind of a person is not saved on time, he or she will become Christianized without an authentic experience of salvation. The pure sinner might be a pretender. He might also be a very sincere person who wants to learn, who wants to get himself out of the mess called sin. He might also be somebody who is pretending. He comes, speaks the right language, do the right things, but he is not the right person. And if this kind of a person is not saved on time, he will become Christianized. To become Christianized means that you now learn the language of Christians. You learn the behaviors of a Christian. You know, somebody can behave born again and is actually not, but it's behaving it, it's acting it. And of course, we have a lot of actors in church acting it, and they can act for a long time and acting it very well. You are Christianized. You have now learned how to do it, how to bow the head and bow the knees while praying. Of course, you will agree with me that there are so many persons who are not filled with the Holy Ghost. They are not even born again, but they are speaking in tongues. If you have not met them before, I've met a lot. He doesn't know Christ, but he can speak in tongues. He's been Christianized. Because if you stay in the place where it is done long enough, you are going to tell yourself, it's either I do this thing or I walk out of this place. So let me not look different. Let me just follow them. And it becomes very dangerous when a sinner becomes Christianized without a genuine experience of salvation. Because you are going to live in the deceitfulness of that kind of life, thinking that everything is all right. Of course, those that see you display some of those habits and cultures will feel this person is okay. And many times, based on your acting ability, you can even be called up to positions of responsibility that will help you to be like that the more. It will shock you to know that there are many pastors who are not born again. I told you some weeks ago, a pastor I read that he is pastored in church for over 20 years, but he wasn't born again. He's been pastoring, he's the general overseer, but he wasn't born again. Now, that's one person who was very sincere, a white man. He said he wasn't born again, but he had started a lot of churches. And of course, there are people like that. Well Christianized, well packaged. Good language, good attitude, good appearance, good composure. And it's very dangerous to be in that state. Praise God. And 80% of the people come to church pure sinners. 80% of church attendees come at this level, pure sinners. Maybe 20% will come to church like those who have met Christ somewhere. But 80% or even more will come to church. And everyone met Christ at this stage, pure sinner. But don't come like that and stay and begin to behave like a Christian when you are sure you are not. If you are not sure you are born again, it means you are not born again. Because it's a very simple thing. You know it. If you don't know it, then you need to be sure, convince yourself, and say, Lord, today I give my life to you. Forgive my sin. Write my name in the book of life. Give me grace to serve you. And then mark that date and begin to walk in your righteousness from that time. Praise God. Because some people have gone to church long enough to become confused. Whether they are the children of God or the children of the devil. Of course, if I'm not a child of God, how come I'm ascending so high in my church? I'm so popular in my church. They know me. I mean, there's no way my pastor would choose 5 persons or 10 persons without calling my name. Praise God. Make sure that you are not just Christianized. Make sure that you have authentic, genuine repentance. Number 2 category of people in the church are the genuinely born again Christians, but still struggling with assurance of his salvation. There is this category that is, he's born again, but he is not sure, he's not convinced. If I'm a Christian, am I supposed to be thinking some of these dirty thoughts? If I'm a Christian, am I still supposed to be having sex in the dream? If I'm actually born again, am I still supposed to be chased about by dogs and lions in the dream? If I'm born again, am I still supposed to be swimming in the river every time I see myself in the river, in the dream? Too many things are making them to think. No assurance of his salvation. This kind of a person needs an encounter of the truth of his status in Christ. The Bible says, if a man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Sometimes our yesterday can so catch up with us even when we are born again, that our yesterday's voice is still speaking audibly in our ears to tell you, what are you deceiving yourself? Why are you deceiving yourself? It was just yesterday. Now, it was just yesterday you stole. It's not long. Do you think God has forgotten so soon? And so the person becomes very discouraged. Praise God. One of the titles that the devil has earned for himself that cannot be contested is that which is called the accuser of the brethren. And is living up to the billing. He comes to you and tell you, you see, don't bother yourself to pray. You are too dirty for God to hear you. This one you are praying. Was Abraham like this? If Abraham was like this, do you think God... You see the devil preach the reverse gospel. A reverse sermon. And some of us will pay attention to it. I don't know whether you have experienced it, but many times when you want to pray, you kneel down, you want to pray, a lot of time there are too many discussions in your mind that can cloud away the presence of God. Too many things. And that's why it is very benefiting to know how to pray in the Spirit. Because when you start praying in the Spirit, over time, everything in your mind, in your flesh, will be lifted up, and you are just connected, and then you can begin to flow. If you pray in the Spirit for a while, generating prayer point will not be difficult. While you are praying in the Spirit, a lot of time you begin to see the things you should be praying for. But if you are praying by your head knowledge, you won't last in the place of prayer. Praise God. That's why the Bible said the Holy Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Amen. You know the day you gave your life to Jesus Christ. And you know that from that time, you have actually lived the way Christians should be living. But you are still not convinced to the tune of having confidence to rebuke the devil. You are still not convinced whether God is hearing you at all. The truth is that once you have given your life to Christ, you become a new creature. Assure yourself with that. When the devil comes next and begin to say, God didn't forgive you, tell the devil you can go to hell. He has forgiven me. He has washed me clean. I am pure. I am okay. The beautiful thing about salvation is that it's very simple and very easy. That a 20-year-old sinner or a person that has sinned and has 20 years experience in sin can become righteous in less than 2 minutes. And the Bible says, when a man repents of his sin, God wipes away his old record and remembers none. No, God remembers none. It is only the devil that keeps your past record. God doesn't keep it. Why does the devil keep it? He keeps it because he is the accuser of the brethren. So he needs enough evidence to accuse you. And so he has demons that are taking record and documenting the things that you are doing. And so when you repent, he goes to the demon and says, can you bring the file of Sister Ruth? 2008 file. Let me have the file. And the file is presented to the devil and he reads it and comes to you. I say, in case you don't know, this is what you did on so-so-so day. Now that's happening in the place of prayer. That's happening when you want to move your life with God to another level. The devil can even tell you, well, you can be anointed, but you can't get to this level, you know, because you have done so many things. Just because he wants to limit you to a particular level of your relationship with God. He said, no, but people like you can do miracles. No, it's not people like you. People that can do miracles are people that have never seen before. And so you can easily accept that and say, maybe let me just contain myself with going to heaven and nothing more. But you know, the beautiful thing about God is that the man who hasn't sinned before is not different from the man who used to sin before and repented. In the eyes of God, he views them the same. Praise God. He views them the same. He cleanses him and makes him pure. And that purity is not measured based on the kind of sin he has committed before. Amen. Otherwise, somebody like Saul will not come near what he was in Christ. Peter, James, and John, other apostles, great guys. Maybe they were nice people. Something tells me that those guys were good guys. You need to be a good guy to just honor an invitation without knowing the man. Jesus said, come and follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. And then they left their net and just followed Jesus. There are people that have not really had bad past. They have been nice people. Just good people. And there are guys who have been very terrible. If you look at their record, you wouldn't want to help them. But when God picks up such a man, he takes him completely away from his yesterday and gives him such a beginning that he will never look like somebody that did that thing before. Now that's the beautiful thing about the cleansing ability in the blood of Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, he said, if your sins be as dark, the Bible says the blood of Jesus will cleanse it and make it white as snow. In case it is as red like crimson, he will make it white as wool. So what do I need to do? Just come. Come and let us reason together. Tell me why you had to do all those terrible things. And tell me that you are sorry about them. That well, you had to do it then, but now you are sorry about them and you don't want to do it again. The story of the prodigal son pictures it very well. I will go back to my father. I will tell my father, I have sinned against heaven, I have sinned against earth. And that guy was serious. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. From what I have done, going by my actions and my attitude, I don't think I'm qualified to be called your son. What I want is that you hire me as a servant. The way you treat other slaves, treat me like that. Forget about the fact that I was once your son. I have moved myself out of that right. And this is what he is going to ask for. If the father could grant him that, that would just be beautiful for you. Being in my father's house, serving as a slave, is better than anywhere else. And then he's going. His prayer is, oh God, let my father just accept me as a slave. Only for him to arrive. And the man said, this my son was dead. Now, he is alive. He was lost. Now, he's found. From the language of the father of the prodigal son, it tells me that that man knew that the boy will come back and he was preparing for his return. Praise God. He knew, this my son, one day he will come back. And when he returns, this is what I am going to do. So what the father did was not an afterthought. What the father did was not an impulse. What he did to welcome his son was what was already determined before he came. Before he started committing sin, the blood of Jesus was already available. You see, God knew that man was going to fail him. And God had a plan B for the world. And that's why our God is not a God that acts by impulse. He planned it very well. I said, if this man is going to mess up, I'm going to give the devil a permanent blow. And that was in the person of the blood of Jesus, that will remit the sins of men and will call man back into the exact dominion that the man used to have before. Praise the Lord. Are you following me now? So assure yourself, I'm born again. If you're not living in sin anymore, there is no point living in your past sin. No. Don't live in the fear of your past. Say, the blood of Jesus washes me clean. I am clean.